As you're turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, one of the things that you probably have noticed over the years is the way that dads have been minimalized in our society. It come back, I saw an article, this is out of Forbes, I was looking up, it's from 2010, a Forbes magazine. Not that I typically get that. I was cheated and went online and found it. Father's Day is here, and we think back to the way that fathers used to be on television. Remember what they used to be? Those movies, shows like Father's Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver. Remember where Dad was Dad, and that was it. When he came home, he laid down the law. He had the job, he provided for his family, and then you had in the home, the mom was stayed at home, and took care of the husband and the children. And then we seen that while television perhaps was being idealistic in the way that they portrayed the family, then you went over and you saw how the television tried to portray the family in a little different way, reflecting a little more realistically how the family was. My dad wasn't always perfect, making perfect decisions. Mom, it was coming a time where mom would even work to help support the family. You saw some of those changes take place as the years went by. And now we come to the 80s and 90s. And what has it become? Well, to quote them here, it says the classic archetype of the 1950s dad was to bring home the bacon, get involved in the children's lives, and be wise disciplinarians. But the late 80s and 90s featured the rise of the idiot dad. It says, Martin says that an attempt to counteract and ridicule authority and patriarchy, TV moms became the overly strong and TV dads turned into buffoons. The Simpsons started a new wave of deplorable idiot dads. The Looking at You is another show, and Family Guy, who need more mothering by their wives than their kids. It used to be that father knew best, and then we started to wonder if he knew anything at all, says Matt Rausch, senior television critic at TV Guide magazine. Dads become bubbling fools and the butts of the jokes. And that's true. I don't watch much modern TV today. Most of mine is watching some of the old shows. We don't get satellite. We just get the antenna. And they have that wonderful channel called MeTV. And that's where you find the Donna Reed and some of those other shows, Leave It to Beaver, where the dad was a dad and their mom played an important role in the family in training and nurturing the family. The issues that they had in the families were a little different than they are now and today. It was a whole lot less about sex than it is today. And much of what's on television today is not something that we even want to watch. In fact, I watched such classics even last night. I saw how it was King Kong versus the robot King Kong, and you'll never guess who won. It was King Kong Escapes was the name of that classic movie. It was quite a riot to watch the special effects in that show. We find that today there's great confusion about what dads are to be. Consider, for example, where do you go in order to find out what a man is to be like? Where do you go to see how is a dad to live and behave? Well, it used to be you got it from your dad. Your dad would pass on what it means to be the man in the house. what it means to be the man in a house as far as the responsibilities, as far as a provision, as far as demonstrating love and encouragement. I was looking and found out that 1 in 3 homes now do not have biological fathers. 1/3 of the American homes do not have a biological father. It could be a situation such as in our case growing up, where our dad had passed away, and so my mom remarried, and so we had a stepdad. It could be a different situation where they're divorced and he's not part of the picture at all, or is only there every other weekend. It could be a picture where is much more popular, unfortunately, today, where the dads know how to make children, how to become dads, but don't know how to live as fathers to those children. They leave them, abandon them. It's sad. And it's reflecting in our society. How is it reflecting in our society? These teen young men have to try to prove themselves and to demonstrate their manliness. How do they know what that manliness is? They watch all their friends. I was at the store the other day, and I saw a grown man, probably a young man, probably in his late 20s, maybe possibly his early 30s. And I saw him, and his pants were down below his posterior. And I thought that was the strangest thing in the world to me. Where do the children learn such things? Now, it used to be more of a gang thing. And I thought to myself, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because in a gang, I picture having at times to run quickly. It's difficult to run quickly to hold anything in your hand, much less your drawers. Where do they get these ideas of how a man can demonstrate being manly? They get it from the music, they get it from television, they get it from other men that they see. I've seen others who think that they can show off that they're a man. How? They can beat you up. And so they bully one another in school. Why? Because it proves that they're a man. They're trying to be like their dad. And perhaps their dad, unfortunately, bullies them at the home. And so in order to prove who they are, they have to do that. If you consider just for a moment here, where does the world learn to be a dad? There's really only what they can come up with in their own minds and what they see on television, what they see out in the world. That's all they've got. Sometimes they can do a fairly successful job. Most of the time, though, it comes down crumbling. We've got these dads that aren't fathers to their children. Or if they are in the picture and in the home, they're too busy at work or too busy getting drunk to care about the kids. It's sad. It breaks down the family. But if that's how they're taught and portrayed on all the media, well, there is a place we can go, and you know where that is. From the one who created dads in the beginning. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, we have instructions. Now our favorite verse as adults, you teens in the back there, listen very carefully. You need to know, I've got an almost teen, I'm going to call him a teen, I'm going to cheat him 2 days, alright? Isn't that scary? Just take a second here. Isn't that scary? I'm almost the father of a teenager. Man, it makes my wife old. Okay. the teens here, listen, our favorite verse as parents is the one in verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father by giving him lots of gifts on Father's Day. And your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, watch here. It says, you fathers, as much as we parents are kind enough and gentle enough to teach verse 1, 2, and 3 to our children without kind of hanging it over their heads all the time. But we don't go around saying, boys, it says you have to honor your father and mother. You have to obey them. Therefore, I expect you. And that's not a, if that was our lecture every time, we would be doing what the scriptures tell leaders not to do. Lord it over them. It's true you have that position, but we can kindly and gently remind our children. Sometimes it might take the wooden spoon to do that. But we best as we can remind our children, look, you have to obey them. Remember when you get frustrated with your kids or grandkids when they don't listen to you, when they disobey you, when they don't honor you? You know how that frustrates you? Why can't they just obey you all the time? Fathers, this verse in verse 4 hangs over your head. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Now we need to talk about what that means. That means fathers are not called to be drill instructors. We look at the scriptures to define what is a dad. How ought I to be a father to my children? And here is that verse that can sadly be mistaken and misused and abused. It says here, don't provoke your children to wrath. That does not mean that we take a look at our children and then never say any harsh word to them. We never, ever, ever get after them or look at them cross. I don't know if you had them in your family. I'm blessed with two of them. I have two children that I can give the look to. Moms give better looks than dads, but I can give a look to and I can make them cry. What a mean dad, right? But you can give that look of just utter disappointment and mixed in with a little anger and just break their hearts. It's nice to have those kinds of kids because they tend to be a little easier. They seem to be, and perhaps they're just a little more deceptive and manipulating me instead. Then you have those other ones that you think you just have to beat the kingdom come to get them to realize what's going on. You don't do that because you're a loving father. But what you do is discipline them. We have to discipline our children. We do need to ground them for months on end. You do need to ground them. You do need to remove privileges. You do need to look at them and give them the look. You may need to discipline them with a SWAT. That's a love SWAT. That's enough to cause enough pain to let them know you're serious, but not enough to do any real harm to them. That's what that is. And it's legal here in Nebraska. And it's instructed in the scriptures. In fact, if we want to go by the scriptures, there are times that you should take your teen kid out there, beat him with a 2x4, because the bruises will heal. Don't ever do that, though. I'm not advocating that. The point the proverb is making is discipline your children so they don't turn out to be the fool and the scoffer. We need to discipline our children appropriately. We as parents, Dawn and I, I think have done a decent job in starting very early with our kids. From before the time they were one, we figured they could figure out what the word no meant real easily. And so we take, and you just tap their hand, say no. And then, of course, you just like beat them to death and they scream bloody murder because they think you just, you know, really hurt them and you hadn't hardly just touched them. But the way you said it in a commanding, not yelling, but commanding voice, said no. Oh, they didn't like that at all. We tried to train them from a very young age. Their first words was not no like the doctor thought it would be. It should have been. After sometimes you had to do that. But you understood who they were and understand that some things are not acceptable. There are some things that are acceptable because you're a kid, but be careful because there's places and times to do it. When you're sitting in the back in prayer and goofing off is not the time, that is not the time to goof off. So you have to give them a little pinch or something. At the store, one of the wisest things, one of my friends in Michigan did when Zach was first born, she said, let me give you some grandmotherly advice. She says, in the store, you see this hair right back here? Pull that. Pull that. Says it works wonders. It did. I mean, it's still, yeah, it still has to happen sometimes. A couple of my kids, if you notice in the back of their hair, they've got a tail. Some people have a tail in the back of their, right at the bottom of their hair there. That's a perfect, the other ones you just have to grab hold of something. Xander's growing out his hair a little bit like Sid Crosby, his favorite hockey star, and so it's a little easier with him. We do these things not because we want to be mean. We have to discipline them. We want to show them what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. We have to do that, men, as fathers. We have to do that. We don't do it because we're mean. Now, I've always had the policy, if my kids on occasion call me or think that I'm mean, I'm doing okay. If it becomes a habit for them, I might need to look and see if I am being mean. I need to be careful of that. I need to do it in love. My purpose, my point as a drill instructor, which I'm not called to be, I need to discipline my kids, but I need to do it in love. How does God demonstrate this? He does it by disciplining you. I want you to consider the fact that God disciplines you. You who belong to Him. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sometimes comes along and goes, He does. Look at the bad things that happen in your life. Sometimes He does it by just pulling His hand back a little bit and letting those consequences happen. He can withdraw His hand of blessing and you could get a ticket. A natural consequence and certainly something you deserve. Or, if you recall, when in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God sometimes would cause illness and even death as a matter of disciplining His children. My wife said it happened about every 4 or 5 years in her youth group. And Pastor Larry, P.L., they called him. This is Pastor Larry Nihlis of Omaha Christian Academy when he was in Ohio, the youth pastor there. He said it was no fail that every 4 or 5 years, one of the teens would be killed. And he said it would always be those teens who had made a profession of faith, but then withdraw from the Lord, rebel against God. And God, in the end, and take them home. Fine, if you can't play nicely with all the other kids, on taking you home. We should not discount when we get sick, when we have problems in our life, things aren't going well, we feel like we're cursed. We should not discount the possibility God's hand of discipline is upon us. That doesn't mean every bad thing that happens to us is God's discipline. Sometimes it's His training of us. We tell our kids to ask our kids to do something or have them do something difficult. Why? Partially to train them. But sometimes to discipline them. Why does God do it? He does it because He loves us. Men, when we discipline, we need to do it out of love. As soon as we start doing it out of anger, we're going to lose control and do things that we're going to have to come back and apologize for. So we need to be very careful about that. We need to discipline our children. Disciplining doesn't mean yelling. Usually yelling doesn't fix much. Usually it just causes upset feelings on both ends and somebody's going to end up apologizing. Sometimes you do need to raise your voice a little bit. But we need to always maintain that control. Fathers are called to raise godly children. Fathers are called to raise godly children. It says there, do not provoke your children to wrath, but, I'm going to bring some Greek into this here. It says, bring them up. And that word there, one word means to rear them. That, you're taking your children and developing them mentally and physically, to what you can physically, and spiritually into what they should be. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That word training there is talking about being a tutor, an advocate. It includes chastening. The word there is used in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening or discipline, God deals with you as sons. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for, as here's the Greek word, instruction in righteousness. You see where this is going for us men? We are to instruct and correct, discipline our children. And the last word there, the training and admonition. Some of you are familiar with the phrase nouthetic counseling. Nouthetic counseling is taking the scriptures and using that as the base and the diagnosing and the base of treating problems and issues in people's lives, whether it be physical or emotional, whatever those issues are, is based on using the scriptures, so that's called nouthetic counseling. That word means to rebuke or correct, to draw attention to. And don't forget those last three words there, in the Lord, or of the Lord. Watch this. Everything that we are to do, men, in training our children and grandchildren, is to be done in the Lord. If you're a man here and you don't have your children or grandchildren handy with you right here today or even just here in Omaha, you know these kids here, the teens that are sitting here, the little children that are downstairs in junior church, you are their dads. And while you are refrained from giving physical discipline as such, you still need to, in the Lord, help lead them in the way they are to go. Let me share with you here. We need to teach them. Teach them in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, my son, the father is speaking here, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. We have a duty to instruct our children. One of the things that I want to do now that Zach is 12 going on 13, one of the things that I want to do is to train him how to do things at the house. So he knows when he gets older in his own place, he can fix things in the house. Or, better yet, as he gets older and I get lazy, I can just have him fix it and I don't have to do it. I want to instruct him, to teach him. Not only that, it says, of the Lord, in the Lord I need to do this. One, to glorify the Lord by working with his hands and his mind, but more importantly, how he's going to live before the Lord. Instruct him, Zach, when you do your schoolwork, make sure you're doing it for the Lord. You're learning it. He's got finals this week. He's so excited. He's got finals this week. And I want him to do well in them because it will honor God. We need to love them in the Lord. We spoke a little bit about that as well. The love that we show to our wives and to our children. That's what keeps us from being that drill sergeant. Sometimes we feel like the drill sergeant, but when we take time to spend with them, to fellowship with them, to learn, you know, some of their likes and dislikes, or just go outside and play with them. Xander, the other day we went on a run, we come back, and I'm tired, and they're tired. And Xander came up and said, Dad, are we going to throw the ball? He said something about throwing the ball. I'll be honest, I really didn't feel like throwing the ball. I felt like sitting there. I was tired from the run. I'll call it a run, you know, a trot, whatever it ended up being. I really wasn't in the mood. But you know what I did? I went out there and threw a ball with them. Why? Because I love them. And I said to myself, this is a great opportunity for me to spend time with them. Sometimes we constantly are telling them to do things they don't want to do. We need to demonstrate love by setting aside some of the things we want to do in order to spend time with them and to grow them in the Lord. We talked about this as well. Disciplining them in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We love our children. That's why we discipline them. Some of you that when Awana was going on, and you come and see some of the children, or even this last week in Vacation Bible School, and the way they behaved, you could see that there wasn't a whole lot of discipline happening at home. For they did not behave disciplined in controlling what they said, in controlling their fidgeting, in controlling the way they acted towards one another. There's not a lot of discipline going on at home. That's a must. We must do that. Maybe this is the meanest one of all here, this last one. Exemplify to them in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Men, we are what our children will become. If our idea of having a good time is to come home, turn on the TV, grab a cold beer, and ignore everybody, and start cussing and swearing when the game goes awry, guess what? Our children will do the same thing at an early age. If, however, we discipline what we put into our bodies in order to honor the Lord, if we discipline the words that come out of our mouth in order to honor the Lord and to show His love, to show His instruction, if we are disciplined and exemplifying the way that we are to love, to demonstrate love to one another and our family and those in need and those that are just part of the church family, they will do the same way. If we exemplify, hey, I know that we'd like to do this, but let's go serve somebody else for a change. They'll do it too. If we exemplify in our giving, if we exemplify in our attitudes, they'll pick it up. We're told to be an example in the Word, the things that we say, our behavior, the way we love, and our enthusiasm, and our faith, and in our purity. We can look around in the world, and we can see the effects of what's happening in lives of families, and we can perhaps fit some of these together. But where are we ultimately going to find them? Is in God's Word. I was reading an article in preparation for today. It was talking about where the dads have gone. With the rise of the feminist movement, the ladies wanting to become what the men are, basically, and in doing so, just destroying what a man is, having no respect for him, no honor for him, having ultimately no need for him. She's got her own income, she's got her own friends, her own career, she's got her own car, her own life, basically. He's more of a tag-along. An article not written from a Christian perspective, said we've taken the man out of him, the respect that he needs, and instead he's become the wimp. He's become that television father, the idiot dad. Why? Because that's what the women wanted. And now they got it. Guess what they're doing? They're saying, wait a minute, this isn't quite what I thought it would be like. And so there's actually reversal starting to happen, they said in the article. Well, men, we may have hair on our heads or not, hair on our chest or not. We may be that rough man that loves their family, or we may have that timid character that still leads with courage and boldness. Whoever we are, God has designed us to be, and who we become, and striving to become more and more like Christ. This Father's Day, I want you to know, you have a special calling as dads and as granddads and as father figures here in the church. You hold on to that verse, even as you expect your children to hold on to verse 1, you hold on to verse 4. And relate to others in the same way. So that as you are playing those things out in your life, in the Lord, we will see families grow strong. We will see families who love the Lord. We will see a society who looks at you, and even though you're backwards in ancient philosophy of who the family is, you'll have great honor and respect, for they'll see the effects of what doing what God commands does. I encourage you. You have that call. God has called you to it. Listen to that call and perform it.